I want to start today a little bit different, and then I'm going to pray for you. We're talking about the series, I Am Free, Praise God for the Freedom in the United States of America. But we're talking about not only freedom in America, but we're talking about spiritual freedom from bondage or believers being in bondage. We know that the ones that do not know Christ are in bondage to sin. But we're going to dig a little bit deeper in this area of bondage that we understood that believers can be in bondage. So I started this series with that, and so we're going to dig a little bit deeper. But I just want to give you some experiences and then give you some truth. First of all, it was quite a few years ago. I was playing golf. And I was on vacation, and I was matched up with two other guys. And about the third hole, I had seen it at the beginning, but I saw this one guy, he had a rabbit's foot on his bag. And so they asked me what I did for a living, so I told them, and they apologized for the cussing that they did the first couple holes. And so we had a good laugh at all that. But I said, why do you have a rabbit's foot on your bag? And he says, well, for good luck. I wanted to say it's not working in your game, but I didn't say that. I was nice. And I said, well, but I said something different. I said, the rabbit wasn't lucky. And he kind of looked at me, and I said, no, really, why? He says, well, just for good luck. And he kind of looked at me, and he walked over his bag, he ripped it off, and he threw it away. Think about it. Think about what he was doing, what he was trusting in. Then it was probably 20 years ago, I was a district supervisor on the East Coast, and they invited us to a meeting in New York. And we went to one of the last games in Yankee Stadium, the old one. And when I went there, I jumped in a taxi to meet everybody else. And I noticed that the guy had a horseshoe and a cross on his mirror. And so being me, I said, why do you have a horseshoe and a cross on your mirror? And he said, I don't know. I said, no, seriously, why do you have that? He says, well, I want things to go well. I said, okay, why do you have a cross? He says, I want to cover all my bases. And see, when superstitions rule the lives of people, they are even afraid to go out on Friday the 13th. And they become obsessive with broken mirrors. And I want to say to you, those are very dangerous beliefs that people are working with. Did you know some hotels, in all the traveling I did, don't have a floor 13? And go in the elevator, and you don't see 13. But how many of you know floor 14 is 13? Do they think we're that dumb? Or how about a airplane? People are flying in an airplane, and they get there, they don't have their seat assigned, and they sign them row 13. They're, nope, I'm not flying. Row 13. Okay, or if they get seat 13, whatever it is, they're like, oh, I can't fly. Well, what are they afraid of? Lightning hit the plane? I mean, it's like, you know, lightning's going to hit the plane, knock out row 13, and then row 14 and 12 just singe together. You know, it. But I want to start off today is superstitions are an acknowledgement of other gods and other spirits, which we are allowing to have power over our lives and over our minds. And I pray that just what I wrote down, some experiences I had, is that you will take a hold of that and really begin to self-examine. I'm not examining you, but I want you to self-examine, why do we believe what we believe? Why do we, in everyday's life, and then fear arises and doubt arises, and then we say some of the things that we say because of superstitions. I know playing a lot of sports as a young man, I knew guys that would put on their socks the same way all the time. They would tie, you know, the left shoe before they tied the right shoe, you know, all the different things. And nothing would change because it was a superstition. And what I realized growing up, if I worked harder, I would be better. I didn't need good luck. I needed to work hard at what I did to succeed. So again, today we're going to go a little bit deeper regarding believers who are in bondage. We're going to continue to, and as I say this, nail this subject down. And here's the reason why I want to do that. Because I absolutely want every one of us in this house and everybody, the hundreds of people watching online, I want you to be free. I want you to be able to face the challenges of life, not with fear because of superstitions or of self-doubts, but I want you to face it with humility that because of Jesus Christ and the work of the cross, you can be free from everything that has hindered you in the past. Amen? So I want to pray for you. And so I'm going to ask you all if you would stand one more time. I like to work out, so I'm going to make you work out here. Up, down, up, down, up, down. We're not as bad as other religions, but I want you to recognize something very important of what I'm going to say. So listen to what I'm going to say, and once you hear it, I want you to begin to pray that for yourself. And matter of fact, I want you to do something like this, a receiving from the Lord. I guess you could say, let's do a Mufasa. Okay. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name, for the powerful work of the cross that has defeated every lie, every deception of the enemy. The lies that people have believed in their relationships, the deceptions that people have had regarding their successes, the absolute lies that they have regarding their own identity. In you. I pray right now for every believer in this house, every believer that is watching online, that you would recognize that Jesus Christ has done the work and to receive everything that God has for you. And today, Holy Spirit, cause us to recognize and remove everything that has hindered us from taking that next step. Lord, we see throughout the world superstitions, religious superstitions that have invited demonic influence in their countries, poverty, sickness, disease. And in Jesus' name, we take a hold of what we have as believers and we say, Satan, you have no place in the places that we live in. That no longer you have power over our children, our children's children. No longer you have power over any area of our lives because now we will take the truth and that truth will set us free. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you as you are seated. Now again, many believers never get free indeed. Because they don't believe that indeed they can be in bondage. Many say, well, I'm a Christian, and Christians can't be in bondage. Remember this 3-4 weeks ago? Last week, we talked about how pride can open the door. We saw in Scripture how Satan came against Peter. Satan came against Job and Ahab because of pride. So last week, we got that revelation, and we're kicking that out the door. And I know some of you have faced situations even this week regarding pride. And I believe that many of you, if not all of you, kicked it in the can and left that. No longer pride rules your life. So we're going to talk about three more open doors that we allow in. So here's the first one. Continued iniquity. Continued iniquity. My summation is that continued iniquity opens a door to demonic influence in our life. In John 8:31, you can click your tablet to that or open your Bible. But before we read verse 31, there is a famous verse that I want to read to you, and it's the next verse. It's verse 32. It says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I'll read that again. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Please recognize verse 32 in the Bible of this book of John is a word that is a continuation of what 31 said. And a lot of times people will recognize verse 32, but they don't recognize verse 31. And it says, and, notice and, so it's a continuation. When he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," verse 31 is important. I'm slowing down here because I want you to see it, all right? Verse 31 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him." Verse 31 is telling us Jesus was talking to believers, not those who are unbelievers, or as some people will say the word, sinners. We are talking about believers. And he says, "If you abide in my word," we've talked about filling our house. Remember, when you become born again, the house is wiped clean, talking about you. And then the enemy comes back in, and Scripture tells us that he becomes seven times worse, because when he came back in at you, the house was still clean. It didn't have any word in it. It didn't have this truth in you. And so the truth will make you free, but if the truth is not there, you will be in bondage. All right? So verse 31, "If you abide in my word," after being born again, "you are my disciples indeed. And you," you is a pronoun referring back to the disciples or the believers, "you disciples shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's that you have a continued, you know, you don't do like Pastor Dan when he skips his journaling. I'm kidding. I skip many times myself. Sometimes I make it up and sometimes I don't. Because as they say in the South, I ain't perfect. All right? None of us are. Jesus Christ is. "But you disciples shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Look at verse 33. "They answered him," remember this a few weeks ago? "We're Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" This is the best illustration of believers being in bondage. That we do not acknowledge the reason, spiritual reasons, why we struggle in areas of our life. Now, I know saying things like this, "Pastor, you know, can you talk about another subject?" No, I can't. Because I want you to understand, to recognize how to be free every single day of your life. And they're blinded. People are blinded. Deception is there. And they wonder why, again, why God's not answering their prayers, why these things aren't happening. The bottom line, we need to self-examine in our lives. Is our house filled with the Word of God? So you are going to make it a priority to stay in my Word if you really want to be free, is what Jesus is saying here. You're going to have to make it. I know you're busy. I know I'm busy. But we have to make a priority of being in the Word of God. That's why we have the Bible studies on Sunday night for all ages. That's why we have Bible studies for some of the ladies. That's why we have Bible studies for the seniors. We have that. That's why we have OSL. We have these things because we need to get in the Word of God. We have it online that you can go on Church Center and you can journal. You can get in the Word every single day. So their statement to Jesus is the funniest, if not the craziest, and or the ding-dong statement in the Bible. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Again, I've said this before. Have you ever read the Old Testament? The Jews have been in bondage to the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, the Grecians, the Assyrians, and the Egyptians. A matter of fact, with the Egyptians, Hollywood made a movie about that. But what is crazy, they were in bondage to the Romans when they said this. And I'm saying some things again because I want you to recognize you can hear this but not get the revelation of it. Jesus, we have never been in bondage to anyone. So after Jesus rolls his eyes, so Jesus then decides to make it clear the very next verse, verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." A slave of sin. If you commit a sin, you are in bondage to sin. We're going to talk about the word commit in a little bit. Verse 35, Jesus is talking about abiding in him. So look what he says. "And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus is not talking about salvation here. Jesus is talking about the believer. As believers, we can choose to walk in the sonship he has given us. What does that mean? Or we can choose to walk back in slaveship and be in bondage, even as believers, by sin. He said, "Don't do that. I came to make you free." Jesus did the work for us to be free. Now, read John 8:34 again. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin." So, how many of you can be really honest with me and say, in the past year, I've sinned? I'm trying to tell you more than once. The word commit means whoever is committed to continue in that sin. Now watch this. In the Greek, the word commit means to formulate a plan. So what Jesus is talking about is not that just off the cuff something happens. Oh, God, forgive me that I did that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about when we formulate plans in our life to sin. Verse 34, whoever formulates a plan to sin is in bondage to sin. We've all been there. Okay, not one amen there. We've all been there. Yeah. We all have had sin in our life that we formulated a plan to stay in that sin or to accommodate that sin and to keep it hidden. And let me just tell you, a lot of people use this terminology. What Jesus is talking about here, what I'm trying to explain, it's not a weakness. It's not a weakness. It's a bondage. It's spiritual. Romans 6:16 says, also written to believers, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Paul put an awl that's called in his ear, stating, I am a bond slave of Jesus Christ. I am a bond slave of righteousness. I choose to live my life based upon God's word. I fill my house with the word of God. That's what I choose. And so I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a slave to righteousness. I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. And in other words, I choose that all. I choose, bottom line, what it represented was a person who was bought as a slave, served its time of what he or she was bought for, but after that time was released in freedom. But because they loved the master so much, they put an awl in their ear and chose to continue to be their slave out of love. So I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm a slave to Jesus Christ and his word, and I choose to do that every single day of my life. Amen? Now, the scripture says, don't you understand this? You have two choices. You either decide to serve sin and it will lead you to death. He's talking to believers. Or you're going to serve obedience, which leads you to righteousness. So Paul is basically saying that I don't use my freedom as an occasion for the flesh. I don't plan to sin, but plan to get out of sin. And how do you do that? You fill your house with the word of God. So number one is continued iniquity, that there are believers that are in bondage to continue. They're born again. Their house has been wiped clean, but they haven't filled it with the word. So they're struggling in iniquity. Here's the second, continued illness. I'm going to pause there for a second. There is so much false doctrine about this. There's so much wrong teaching, false teaching, deceptive teaching about faith and healing and all the above. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to say some things to you, and I'm going to bring you back to the truth that will set you free, that will make you free. All right? I'm not going to go off on a tangent of any, you know, area, but I just want you to recognize, to listen to me very closely, and with deceptive teaching that maybe you have heard, that don't jump to that conclusion, but stay with me, okay? This is so important to me, because in my life, God has chosen throughout the history of my ministry of to pray and to see the miraculous and healing power of God move. And I believe it happens because God ordained it, but I believe it happens because I have gotten close to the Holy Spirit and he has shown me what Scripture has truly said, which refutes the deception that has kept people in illness. And I want you to be free. I want diseases to be lifted off of you. So listen closely. Not always, but it can be a sign of an open door where the enemy has come in and he has brought an illness with it. Remember, we're not looking behind every bush looking for a demon. So look at Luke 13, verse 11, and let's read this and see what happens here. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. The Bible tells us there is a spirit of infirmity. 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Verse 12. But when Jesus saw her, notice he called her to him. It's usually the other way around. Call for the elders of the church that they may anoint it with oil, pray the prayer of faith, and they shall be well. Most of the time, people call Jesus to them. So we're going to see in a little bit, Jesus knew she was a believer, but she had lost hope because 18 years. There's some of us in this house or listening, you might be in the same boat. That doesn't make you less of a believer, but I want to tell you there is a spirit, a lying spirit, that is trying to destroy the purpose that God's given you in your life. And it is coming out in an illness. Verse 12 continued, and said to her, woman, you are loosed, freed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her. Now it's biblical to lay hands on people for healing. Laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But, watch this, the ruler of the synagogue, or I can say the pastor of the little church, answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and said to the crowd, all right? Said to the crowd. Let me just say some things here and we'll continue. Do you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? He hasn't changed. You might not know Pharisees are the same yesterday, today, and forever too. What Pharisees do is they quote part of the Bible and then add their own interpretation. That's religion. Look what the guy does. He quotes Scripture, then he puts his own interpretation on it. Verse 14 continued, there are 6 days, fourth commandment, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. His interpretation. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. Here is a woman that had been suffering for 18 years, and he said, you should have come another day to be healed. Church family, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Verse 15, the Lord then answered him and said, you idiot. No, he didn't say that. So he's trying to be nice, running his political campaign as Jesus. Hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? It's very important. So ought not this woman, watch what Jesus says, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. Think of it, for 18 years, be loose from this bondage on the Sabbath. The heart of God is pure. The heart of man is deceptive. Very important. Jesus said, this is a daughter of Abraham. There were literal sons and daughters, physical sons and daughters of Abraham, but there are also spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham. In verse 16, I don't think he's referring to natural sons and daughters. If you read on in John 8, they said to Jesus, we're sons of Abraham. And Jesus responded, no, Abraham is not your father, for he was your father. If he was your father, you would believe me. The two children of Abraham believed me. Then he said, your father is of the devil. I said, idiot. Jesus said, hypocrite. You're of Satan because of the belief that is wrong. Galatians 3:7 says, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Galatians 3:29 in the NIV says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, you know, people argue, well, you know, Galatians was written after Jesus. The explanation is the word of God is eternal. The Bible says here, those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Jesus sets her free, says why he did it is she is a daughter of Abraham who is of faith. And we're talking about faith, having faith in Christ that he took stripes upon his back for your healing. But the reality is that what the enemy does is he comes in and he gives you reasons of why. And we have to get back to the truth that will make you free. It will mold you into freedom. She was a believer who was in bondage for 18 years and has a spirit of infirmity. Now, again, I'm not saying that every time you get sick, it's a demon. There are people that think that. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what Scripture's saying. And I'm not saying when you sneeze, you say, come out, thou foul spirit. I mean, I've even had people who sneeze and bless you. Oh, you shouldn't say that. I wanted to walk up to them and say, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. You know, we get into this stuff, but I want to tell you there are at times when we're believing God, we're confessing the word, we're doing all that. There was an open door that allowed this enemy to come in and this disease, and we need to rebuke that in Jesus' name and tell that demonic influence, that demon, to absolutely take that sickness away with him. And we must do this. We must do this. And I do that all the time. All the time. I will say to myself, if something's coming on, I'll just say, God, did I open a door? I don't hear anything. Father, I thank you that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. I receive that. Amen. But you're a pastor. I know. I know I'm a pastor. And I look at that, I humble myself under the mighty hand of God. I live my life the best I can by filling my house with the word, by praying, by worshiping, by being here almost every day and praying and seeking God. And outside when I'm visiting with people, I'm talking about the word because Jesus Christ and his word is everything to me. Amen. And when the enemy comes in, like a flood, God raises up a standard if I fill my house with the word of God. Amen. And I recognize that. So don't walk out of here with what other people have taught and say, I've got a demon. There's bondage. We've opened the door. We've said things. Have you ever heard people say, well, you know, in the fall, oh man, I know stuff happens. It happens to me every single year. I get this. Okay. So it's happened for 25 years. You've lost hope in this. How about for 25 years, I've had this. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to spend June, July, and August getting in the Word of God. Oh, the church has 125, I believe it is, scriptures of healing. I'm going to get into that Word, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to read it, and read it, and I'm going to tell the devil, you have no place in my life. You have no place. Sickness is not part of my life. You have a pastor, what if the 26th year it happens again? Then in October, November, December, get in the Word of God and fill your house. Church, don't give up. Everyone watching online, don't you dare give up. Jesus Christ has taken stripes upon his back for your healing. The victory has been won. And we need to recognize that. Oh, but Pastor, you just don't know. Yeah, I do. I do. So if you're going through a difficult, maybe difficult time, difficulty, tribulation, maybe there's an open door that you didn't even know of. And a spirit of infirmity has come in to try to destroy your purpose. Take away your ministry. Take away your business. Take away your marriage. It's spiritual. But the great news of that is that it is something spiritual and can be taken care of. But it is causing something natural in you. But the root of it could be spiritual. So it can be removed because that's what Jesus and his stripes that he took did. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. There it is. Acts 19:11 and 12. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons, Bob LaRiva has that ministry, were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. They were sick, evil oppression was removed. That's how they were healed. So we need to close that door. Many people believe that sickness is their lot in life and say, I know God heals, yes, I believe in healing, but they don't believe it for themselves. Stop believing that lie and be healed. So sickness could be a sign of a demonic influence. So in the name of Jesus Christ, be free. Amen? We made that hard, but it's a simple truth. Here's the third. We'll close with this. Continued influence. Mark 7:24. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. Notice young daughter, verse 25, for a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. Notice that this woman, you must see in this next verse, is a Syrophoenician. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast a demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Bottom line, just called that woman dog. And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. So let's understand some things of this story, all right? Get you some background. She's a Greek, not a Jew. What do we talk about? He was talking to Jewish believers. She was a Greek, not a Jew. She also is a Syrophoenician woman by birth. So she is a mixture. God is not talking racial here. He's not talking interracial. He's not talking skin color. He's talking something spiritual. So Jesus only talks about believers and unbelievers, not black and white or brown. When Jesus said, "Don't do this," he is talking about Israel making, watch this, an agreement with other nations. Not whether they're different skin color or even from where they're at, basically, but bottom line, what their belief system is. The reason Jesus is saying this is when you do that, you may also bring the gods of that nation, which will affect you. Great example. Today we've had 12 million people who were invaded and came across our border. Now we have measles. We have all kinds of diseases that are out there, which I will say to you is a demonic influence to steal, kill, and destroy. So Jesus talks about believers and unbelievers, not skin color. Here's an explanation of the woman. She was half Phoenician from the nation of Tyre, formerly known as Phoenicia. Now, Phoenicia was known as the seat of paganism that entered into Israel. So let me also remind you something here of someone who was born in Phoenicia. Another woman born in Phoenicia, her name was Jezebel. Jezebel married Ahab, remember Ahab? And brought a cult or witchcraft, false gods, and paganism more than any other person in Israel. So again, Syria through the Bible is pride, represents pride, remember last week. So it was known for pride and witchcraft. This woman had an occult background. Not that she was occultish, but Jesus recognized a spirit that was brought, maybe not even her fault, maybe it was her father or her father's father. And it was a spiritual battle that was going on. And sometimes church family, I know this is deeper. I wanted to go deeper, but I want you to recognize sometimes the difficulty you are facing is a spiritual battle, not the sickness. The sickness is a physical result of a spiritual battle. And we have to get to ourselves because I want you to be free. I want you to be healed. I want you to rise up and in yourself say, "I am free of this sickness in Jesus' name." And rise up. It's not a microwave doctrine either. Because some people have filled their hearts with things that are opposite of God's word. And we have to take that word and build our house on the foundation of truth, His word. So she had an occult background, and her children had demons. Her daughter had a demon that brought illness because the mother had opened the door. Possibly, it's not stated, but it could be going through generation to generation. So let me just say just a little bit more, and then I'll move on. We're almost done here. The woman comes up and asks for deliverance for her daughter, for the demon to be cast out. Jesus says this. This is biblical language, so don't get upset at Jesus. But Jesus said to her, let the children, speaking of the Jews, be filled first. The gospel went to the Jew first, then the Gentiles. For it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. So Jesus was referencing he is Jewish and she's Greek. The gospel, again, was sent to the Jew first, and Paul brings the gospel always to the Jew first. We are to bring the gospel to the Jew, but not the Jews only. That's the New Testament. From the Old to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they rejected bringing the gospel to the Gentile. So then that's when Jesus came, and now it's to the Jew and Gentile. Jesus references this more. He is saying to only those who are of faith, because they're the true children, those who are walking in faith. So let the children be fed first. Then he says something, if you don't understand, in today's day, he becomes bigoted and racist. But Jesus says, it's not right to take the food from the children, the believer, and give it to the dogs. Philippians 3:2, Paul says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. The unbeliever. People that are walking in spiritual things, which is not of God. Paul goes on to say to those, say they're believers, but they aren't really believers. So you have a choice. Either you are to beware of literal dogs or beware of lost people who are messing with witchcraft, Ouija boards, you name them. I know Ouija boards is an old thing, but all this stuff online. You know, you think about it like with Paul. I mean, you know, maybe he got bit by a dog, and that's why he said dog. No, he is talking about a spiritual thing. So Paul here and Jesus is talking to the mother, is talking about lost people, dogs. Jesus said when she asked for deliverance, it's not for lost people. He said it's for the children of God. So the question, if the children or believer can't be in bondage, why did Jesus say deliverance is for the children? Did you catch that? Jesus calls it the children's bread. So what Jesus was saying to her, you have to believe in the Messiah to have deliverance. Jesus said, in order to get freedom, you have to believe in me. So believers can be in bondage, and they need to be set free. But how do you get set free? Like the Syrophoenician woman did. Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Jesus responded, for that statement of humility, by humbling yourself, your daughter is free. Many of us have a lot of knowledge of God. That doesn't mean we don't still humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that we submit ourselves to Him in everything. We may know, but who are we? Remember last week? Who are we? Remember Job? God messing with him? Who do you think you are? Claiming it's all you, your righteousness. Were you there when I created the universe? Remember that? It's humbling. It's allowing yourself to be that man, that woman, that every single day of your life, that you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. I'm going to ask for everybody to stand and we'll conclude. So if we have I'm going to use a term, an old term, a besetting sin. Basically what that means is, my interpretation of that is, it's ruling you. you do good for a while and then it's like, and you blow it. You feel guilty. Oh, God, forgive me. You know, if you have that, Jesus wants you to be free. We've talked about these open doors, these three. Is there something there that's in your life that you've opened up? You know, not that, you know, the enemy controls you and you're, remember we talked about the word possession? In other words, the bondage of a believer is that you've given the enemy mastery over an area of your life. You're not possessed where you can't choose. You've already chosen. You're going to heaven. But you've allowed it. And you've opened that door. And just might be, it's just a crack. Sickness may have come in because of that. In Jesus' name. Because you have heard the revelation of God's word. I proclaim victory over that sickness and disease. I speak to your bodies in Jesus' name. Be whole. Satan, you have no control because Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of these folks, my family. And I speak now in Jesus' name that even in our mind, the enemy has so confused and we're frustrated, we're angry one day and happy the next, we're bitter, we're talking negative about people and we just can't handle it. It's just like, have we opened the door to the enemy? In Jesus' name, you're well. In Jesus' name, I'll say it again, you're well. If there's anyone in this house, you're here today, and you say, I have not confessed Jesus Christ as Lord. Many of you, hundreds watching online, if you do not know Jesus Christ, today's the day. Today's the day. Rise up, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. Do that today. Don't wait for tomorrow, this afternoon, or after the barbecue you can eat tonight. Do it now. Father, as we leave this place, blessings upon our military. Blessings upon all the moms and dads and the husbands and wives that have lost their loved ones due to the service of the United States of America. We do live in the greatest country in the world. That proclaims freedom. Oh, God, we're not the perfect nation. No nation is. But we serve the perfect one. We are founded on the principles of the Word of God. Restore that now. Satan, you have no hold of this country. And Lord, I pray that you'd send many, many more out of this country to serve all nations proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ as they do spiritual battle. And we give you honor and praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you. Love you a lot. Have a great time with your families.